Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Conversations Against Living Miserably, a podcast where we try to find solace in a world where our brains are usually against us.
My name is Aaron Gillis, and each week I'll be joined by...
me, Lauren Patterson! Each week we chat to a different guest about how they try and live their life without misery, but we try and do it with a little bit of laughter, because otherwise that sounds like a pretty gloomy idea for a podcast.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Dave, the TV channel, and Calm, the campaign against living miserably.
Ha ha, morning! And welcome back to a podcast that raises money for Calm, whilst at the same time trying not to take itself too seriously and walking the fine line which can only be described as, oh no. Yeah, I'll do. This week's guest is Larry Dean. Larry is a stand-up comedian who in 2013 was named Scottish Comedian of the Year and was nominated for the Best Show in the 2018 Edinburgh Comedy Awards. Basically, he's a very, very funny man. Larry is touring the UK from autumn 2020, so Google him and go get your tickets now. Go get them now, or after the podcast, actually. Or you can do both, if you can do both at the same time. Technology allows us to do many things now. This episode, we talk to Larry about languages, paranoia, and dating. This episode descends into utter chaos a couple of times, for which I blame Lauren and Larry entirely. I am a very sensible young man. Please remember to like, subscribe, rate, review, drink some water, eat a vegetable occasionally. All the usual stuff podcast hosts say at the beginning of an episode. Right, that's enough of me. Here is Lauren and myself talking to Larry Dean.
Hello, welcome to... Why are you laughing? I just said hello.
It's a really weird way of saying hello.
Just like to mix it up, okay? Hola. I've been doing Duolingo. Hola. Juan come manzanas. That means Juan eats apples.
My things have been stuck with that one in Spain.
Welcome to the podcast. On this week's podcast, we are joined by one of my favourite people. It is Larry Dean.
Thanks, mate.
Hello.
Oh, thank you. Do that again. Hola.
Hola.
¿Qué tal?
¿Cómo te llamas? Me llamo Larry.
So I just leave.
I learned how to say, I only speak a little bit of Spanish, and now that's just all I'm saying. So I'm like, solo hablamos un poco español. And I'm like, I feel like I've got it covered now. Now I've learned that one phrase. I'm like, well, technically, it's true. I do only speak a little bit of Spanish, and it's that one sentence, and Juan come manzanas.
Yep, me gustaría mi pescado en mi casa. I would like the fish in my house. All I know.
I don't know any. Oh, no, only like, mi hermanos, mi hermanas. That was it. That's the only, that was the only one I think I can remember. Well, obviously, hola
and quitar. Sister or daughter and something.
I think it's brother and sister.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I don't know if I know any of them. No? Well, we did German and French in school.
Ah, mein Grandmutter ist ein Kissenboot. My grandmother is a hovercraft in German. Ooh. Don't know why I know that. It's the only bit of German I know as well.
Very useful.
Weirdly, they taught us how to say, like, was hast du in der Pause? Which is, like, what do you have on your break? It's like, why would you ever ask? You know what I mean? If you didn't even ask, like, if you are, like, visiting Germany, but you wouldn't even ask that to your mate in the UK. Like, when would you ever go, oh, so what do you eat when you've got a break? You know what I mean? Ich esse Kekse und Schokolade ich trinks Orangensaft. And, like, that's pretty much all the German. But the reason why I can remember it is because I remember thinking this is the most ridiculous thing to learn.
Yeah.
And that's why I can remember it.
My French teacher was amazing. Well, maybe not with the story I'm about to tell. But when we got a GCSE, we had, like, you know, when they get, like, the French tutor in. So it's someone who's from France. They're, like, a uni student or whatever, and they're coming and doing, like, a placement in a school. So they improve their English and they, like, obviously teach us French. And we were all, like, we loved this teacher. But then we went for the... We didn't normally do, like, modules like sport or healthy living. We went for these one-on-one sessions with the guy. And we all thought we'd been saying, like, I am healthy or I am unhealthy. But what we'd actually been saying was, I am a pervert or I am not a pervert. And he was like, what are you saying? And I can't remember what the word was, but we were like, we thought it was saying either healthy or not healthy. And he had to go to the teacher and be like, you're teaching them to say I am a pervert or I am not a pervert. And she was like, oh, that's wrong. Oops.
Should we start the podcast?
Yeah. No, I want to do the whole thing in give the listeners what they want. Languages.
My auntie's Iranian and my uncle's marrying her. Well, that's usually how an auntie usually comes about. And then my dad did a speech, but he did it in Farsi. Uh-huh. But then he said thank you to the Pazookis, which is her surname, and our friends. But he didn't realise what he got the word friends mixed up with monkeys.
Oh, no.
So he just kept referring to all these monkeys in the room.
Oh, no. Right. I will ask the first question.
Hey.
When was the last time, Laurie, that you felt calm?
I went for a pee 10 minutes ago. It was amazing.
That sweet, sweet release.
Yeah, exactly.
You said it was a complicated pee, though.
It was, because you were like, yeah, the labyrinth of this studio, man. So, well, I can't even remember it now.
No, we like to make it as stressful as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah,
before
because
we do
there's two single cubicles, and then they were taken up, and then there was a shower, and then I thought...
They were occupied up. Oh, I'm going to do this the whole hour.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a long, long podcast.
There was a shower in there, though, and I thought, maybe I'll go in the shower. And then... well, I would have obviously peed into the... I wouldn't have, like, got naked and then had a shower just to pee.
Larry's been a while.
Just hearing the sound of all that water, but just like, Jesus, how much did he have to drink?
Come back in. Why does he smell like papaya?
Before the bathroom, when was the last time you felt calm?
I was thinking that because you said that, you know, you usually ask that question, and I was thinking probably before the invention of the mobile phone. I don't know, actually. Well, because I felt calm, proper calm the other night, because I was doing a gig and then I had a new bit. And then, you know, that feeling of when I, like, you talk about something that's happened to you recently and it works, and then you just think, oh, the pain and suffering was worth it. And then but
I
you have
made
a, such
art.
A kind of, yeah, exactly. And it's just weird because you think, oh, it's all been worth it. But yeah, apart from on stage, apart from when I'm in the toilet, last time I felt properly calm, I meditated like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I was all right. But then, I don't know, there's loads of things that make you calm. I never have like a calm day because then there's obviously going to be peaks.
Just a calm moment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, like the 5 or 6 seconds after you ejaculate, that's like the... So I don't know if this is this type of podcast.
It is now.
Yeah, it is now.
Okay, here we go.
I mean, it started off as a Spanish lecture, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Then we go on to these. I don't know what action that was. You go to these, yes, come on. I feel calm in Colombia. after you finish having sex, that's when you feel calm, because it's very relaxing when you cry. Ha 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 ha! So yeah, did I answer the question? I don't know if I've answered the question. Oh god, I don't feel calm now, guys. But yeah, there's loads of, I think in any day you have, like, I probably have about 4 or 5 calm moments.
But you can say 4 or 5 wanks.
Oh yeah, well, it depends actually, because I talked about that on my last show, and I think people don't even realise that they do it. Although I said that usually when you're stressed, one of the things you do is you masturbate or whatever like that. But then which a lot of people don't even probably realise they do, but I think people do that. It's like, because you have a cigarette, you smoke or you drink or you masturbate. This has got so dirty so quickly. I'm so sorry. I'm so early in the day for that. I don't know. Peeing, that's the new thing.
Peeing.
Yeah.
There is something about sitting on the toilet that's quite calming.
I mean, I've just lost where this podcast is going at this point.
No, yes. we've had Alfie Browning on about kids, and I find that when I'm looking after my niece and nephew, they're so like all consuming that sneaking off to the toilet for 5 minutes and just like shutting the door and having that little sort of room of tranquility where I'm like, you cannot bother me because I'm in the bathroom, and if you come in, I'll call you a pervert. So this is my time. But then they just wait outside the door, and I'll be so like so calm and chill, like this is my 5 minutes to just like, I'm not Auntie Lauren, I'm just me sitting on the toilet. And then I'll hear someone shuffle outside, and I'm like, are you behind the fucking door? And they're like, yeah, we're waiting for you, you can never have any privacy. I'm like, oh god.
So what, going to the toilet is like the kind of the non-smoker cigarette?
Yeah, like a little escape room.
Because that's what I find of like just having I don't smoke unless I'm drinking, but I have little e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And just even the excuse of being able to leave to go out for an e-cigarette, it's nice to kind of go. Because I think even like in I don't look after kids because the judge told me not to. I don't look after... But whenever I'm over like a family party and that, it's just having loads of people in a room. Mm-hmm. Like I hate feeling as if I have to be in a room.
Yeah.
How long left of this recording? But I feel like you know when you go out for dinner and then people stay after the date. Mm-hmm. I hate that. That's usually when I'm like, oh, I've got to go and do something. Yeah. But having able to have the e-cigarettes throughout, that means I've got like I can take little breaks and kind of cut it all up. Otherwise, it's just too intense.
Because I'm a smoker, and my therapist said it's because I use it as an excuse to get out of situations because of my anxiety. Uh-huh. So I always use it to go, like if I'm in the pub, I get stand by myself for 5 minutes. So if I'm out for a dinner, I just leave it and I can just be by myself. And I'm more addicted to that escapism than I to actually cigarettes. It's just costing me a fucking fortune to be so anxious all the time.
Switch to the toilet.
Where's Aaron? He's in the toilet crying again.
That's why train stations have made them all free. They're like, everyone's just in there sitting anxiously. We can't charge them for that.
It's like I traded nicotine for IBS. Also, so I'm thinking, like, because there's a thing, because I don't think people who've never smoked get it, of like, when they say, oh, just go outside then for a bit. It's like, you just look nuts.
Yeah.
You're absolutely insane. Because he's out to stand outside for 5 minutes in the rain and just going to talk to himself. You look absolutely batshit, man. So, yeah, I don't know what to suggest of getting on, because I'm trying to get off the e-cigarettes, because I tried that, because after that thing of like, oh, apparently, you know, we're all going to die from the e-cigarettes. Stuff that was out in the news last week. Then I was like, I'm going to give up. And then I gave up the nicotine because I thought if I stop having nicotine in it, and then it'll just be the habit of puffing it, and then I'll just try and get out of that habit. But then after the breakup, I was a bit like, oh God, it's far too stressful a time give up nicotine. Because even I was beginning to think, was that the reason why I broke up? Was I being a bit too snappy?
Yeah.
But then you know when people prod you when you're getting a bit snappy? Like
push your buttons.
Yeah, exactly. And when it comes to pushing the buttons, if you're giving up cigarettes, the buttons are like the Starship Enterprise. It's like a massive control panel. That anything's annoying me, just looking at people going, oh, why are you eating that croissant weird?
I had a savoury croissant for the first time yesterday. It's really good.
What a savoury one.
Like a ham and cheese one.
All right.
It's well nice.
Is it?
I felt fancy.
I suppose it's probably, it's not something I'd think that would work, because in like brioche, if a brioche on a burger, you would think, oh, that's not going to work.
Yeah. It's
like sweet bread and
I'm fundamentally against brioche burgers. I think they're disgusting.
Really?
I can't eat, have dairy, so I can't eat them anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've ate brioche before. I didn't know what it was called, brioche, because my wee cousin liked brioche, and then my gran would just call whatever it was after the person. So I thought brioche was called Jack's Rolls.
Do you find being in Glasgow more calming than you did when you were in London?
I thought I would, right? But then it's got so many other negatives to it. Because when I moved back, I was like, oh, this is brilliant. I've got my own flat. And also, I was going out with the Australian guy who I was like totally head over heels in love with. And I was like, he's going to move over into the flat with us. And then that never ended up happening. So I'm now kind of living in like a reminder of what when I had hope. So there's, because also it's a top floor flat at the top of a big hill, and I'm up there by myself, so I'm like Edward Scissorhands up there.
We don't go up that hill, that's where Larry lives.
It's like, oh, it's not like this, you know, the thing with the end of the snow and that. It's like, oh, it's raining, oh, it's just Larry's tears. But on the other side, I've got to travel a lot more for work, and then if I'm not working, then I get a bit bored, and then when I get bored, my mind wanders, and then I start being thinking like, oh, why do I not have a boyfriend? You know what I mean? If you're sat in the flat that you bought specifically to be with somebody, and then you're not busy, you're just like, oh, okay, better not worry about my social life anymore. I have been thinking of moving back to London.
Really?
Yeah, I know, and I don't like London, but most of my pals are here. And I hate getting ripped off by landlords and stuff. So I thought I might rent out my flat in Glasgow and then move back here. But then, to be honest, I really just want to move to America.
Really?
Yeah, I think they just, like, because it's nice just going anywhere and being made to feel special, and all you need to do is talk to an American.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, yeah, and you just, like, because I was saying to my pal, they're a lot like the, you know, the in Toy Story, the wee green men.
Yeah,
because, like, if you talk to them, they're like, ooh, stranger, that's it.
One of the biggest arguments me and my wife had was when we were in New York, and we'd go into department stores, and these like pretty young women would turn up, and I'd be like, oh, I'm terribly sorry to bother you. Would you mind if you just share me with us? And they would like be, oh, you're so lovely. And then I'd wander off with them, and she'd just be stood there fucking fuming. We'd get outside the store, and it's just, oh, it's horrendous, just screaming.
Because I've been told that I've never been to New York, but I've been told that they're a lot more rude than the other, but because it's a big city. But then I went to San Fran. And they were really friendly. But then it's so like, I mean, I don't know if I'd ever trust anybody after the egg. I don't think I'll ever trust anybody there, because you talk to them, they're so lovely to your face. And then you sit down for a cup of coffee, like, and then you would just hear every single person around you in the coffee shop talking about other people. And I know you get that sometimes here, but every single person I was eavesdropping on was talking about somebody else. And I shouldn't have been eavesdropping. No wonder no wonder they're paranoid.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Так. comics though in green room when they'll start like having like a whinge about another actor me, and I'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, and I'll sort of join in, and then I leave the room or they leave the room and I'll be like, hang on, what do they say about me?
Yeah, what
do they say about me when I'm not here? Oh God.
Yeah,
oh,
they, no. But then I don't think most comedians, you can't really take it personally, because I think comedians are like so insecure, and them talking about somebody else is just probably making them feel better.
Yeah.
Than talking about themselves. Because I'm trying to think actually as well. Well, to be fair, actually, I think we've had enough stuff on social media together and enough gigs together that people know that we're pals.
Yeah.
So I've not heard anything bad
about
you.
That's the thing. Once people know you're friends with someone,
that
person won't get bitched about.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So like say if people know me and Larry are friends, no one would slag Larry off to me because they're like a friend. Because remember when I wanted to find out if someone had been slagging me off in Australia and I asked you, and they were like, well, they're not going to tell me because they've seen us hanging out and they know we're friends. And I was like, oh, you lied to me.
Yeah. So what you need to do is you need to get one one underneath then. So like it's almost like you need to find somebody who you're not close with, become friends with them, and then they might have heard something. But then it's such an effort to find out.
I feel like that's how most comics make friends. Did you hear anything about me? No. Okay, let's be friends.
Yeah, exactly. Then comics just lie for a living anyway. I don't trust any of them.
When was the first time you... See, look, I'm asking a proper question.
Wait!
Look, when was the first time you became aware of wanking? Pull back and reveal! When was the first time you became aware of mental health being a thing?
It was on a Facebook status. No, it was... it was actually when I was really young, because my mum had postnatal, and then so when she had postnatal, she had it for yonks, and then she took me to a therapist with her, and then so I would see some therapist person. I don't know what they were doing. It was almost like one of those weird dyslexic test things, which I think she would just watch me play. But then I ended up going with all these other kids and that. So I went to like this kind of NHS therapy thing when I was really young, and then I went back again and again and again, and and it turns out I was right. From a really young age, but I don't know what it was that they thought I had. But I'm seeing one at the moment, just because I got gaslit, and then it began to make me kind of question my own sanity and all that. She says I'm right as well, and it's all of it being right. But then I find seeing a therapist a bit strange though, because obviously it depends what type of therapist and also what therapist. I do really like mine to talk to, but she was trying to do cognitive behavioral therapy on me, and then she would hand me like a sheet of paper at the end of like, this is like how, just the pattern of the way you're thinking. And I think as a comic you'd overthink everything anyway. So I'm looking at that thinking like, of course I know this is how I think. I'm just trying to, how do you make me not think this way? And there's no way of making somebody not think a way. You have to kind of train yourself to not do it, and you're like, no, I'm not going to do that because I might not be funny anymore if I don't overthink everything. I'm a bit like, I'll just talk to her about stuff. I'll see if I can. I'm so determined to make her laugh, but I can't make her laugh.
Yeah.
I keep trying to do that with my therapist as well. It's so bad. Just like, I really want you to like me. It's like, oh no, I'm not paying you this amount of money for you to like me.
I'm paying you this money so I like me.
But yeah, and I used to get those forms at the end of CBT as well, and it's like getting results back of how bonkers you are. It's absolutely wonderful. And every week I was getting worse, because I was trying to cheat the system and make it look like I was getting better.
Oh yeah, you go in and you think, oh, I'm going to watch out this, I'm going to play the room.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, she wants the dead grand material. All right, come on, bring it on. It's so ridiculous, isn't it? There's one thing, I haven't talked to her about it yet, because we've basically been talking about my lack of self-worth quite a lot. Because I'm like, oh, I don't think people want to chat to me and stuff like that. And then at the end of the session, she goes, right, 2 seconds, I'm just going to get my card machine out so you can pay me. Oh, great. It's just all progress today. God. Although my mate said to me yesterday about a neurolinguistic... blah, 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 blah. NLP, neurolinguistic programming. She said it's similar to CBT. I find actually the best way of doing it for CBT is if you teach me a psychological thing, then I find it really interesting, because I feel as if I can then apply it to other people. Because I've even started noticing of like, I mean, have you ever gone out with somebody just because long enough, just because you want to figure out what's wrong with them?
They become your project.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what my ex did with me. So yeah, when my therapist was telling me about like the drama triangle thing. Mm-hmm. Of, like, so there's a victim, there's a persecutor, and there's a rescuer. Mm-hmm. And I kept noticing that I was always trying to be a rescuer, because if you've got lack of self-worth, you think if I help somebody out, then they need me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I keep doing that. So then I began to, when she just showed me the graph and that, I was beginning to just figure out for myself. It's like that thing of like, you're more likely to learn something if you have to learn it yourself rather than somebody tell you and you to learn it. Because then I started looking at all my other friends and like people I've gone out with before, and like, oh, you're very much a victim. And persecutor, I don't really know many persecutors actually. I think it's all comedians think they're victims.
Very much on that point of the triangle.
I don't know, do you not think you're a rescuer?
I think I'm a rescuer.
Yeah.
Again, it's that thing of like, oh, if I can't, I don't want to look after me, but I want to look after this person.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather help other people than help me. That's like what you said in the last series, where that's a deflection or distraction.
It's
from
displacement. Theory, yeah.
New began for D.
Displacement series?
It's just, you don't want to look after yourself, but you give yourself self-worth by looking after everyone else around you.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just ignoring yourself by putting all of your attention onto other people, and then you wonder why you're so sad all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
you're going, oh, no, it's because I want all my friends and family to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, maybe I should start wondering about whether I'm happy or not.
Oh man, when I hear that kind of stuff, I'm like, I kind of think, yeah, but I mean, I don't want to hang out with me. You know what I mean? Oh, it's like that bullshit of a breakup, man. There's so many ones. I'm like, well, how that advice does not make any sense. You know, they say, oh, like, you know, the best revenge is life worth well lived. And just like, well, let's be realistic here. Because everyone keeps it. Because I've been told I shouldn't go in another relationship for 6 months because I need to find myself. And I was going to do that after the last one. And then I met somebody and I was like, oh, they're really nice.
Yeah.
And I was over it. Well, I thought I was. But then you just have to play it by ear of how you actually feel.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I don't know, I've been finding with that stuff, I'm like, yeah, I probably should. Because my therapist didn't say leave it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But she was listening to me talk about this breakup after not seeing me for 3 months, because obviously we were chatting about the last breakup, which happened a couple months before that. But then she even went, heard this story before. I said, what are you on about this? I haven't seen you in months. And she went, I've got the notes from our last meeting. And then she said the exact same stuff happened. And you thought the exact same way about this. And you even kept coming up with 3 or 4 different reasons why each person made that certain move. And she said, you have to stop thinking, what are they thinking?
You're in your own Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, well, fuck it. Who cares? Anyway, if anybody wants a date after listening to this, give us a shoot.
Oh, do you want to play my anxious game?
All right, aye.
So this is, you know, like, would you rather, but all different, like, anxious scenarios.
Okay.
So if you just pick a number between 1 and 15.
8.
8. Where is that? Ah, right, this is a good one, and this caused controversy with me and Matt when I tested them on Matt. Would you rather feel the smartest person in a group or the stupidest person in a group?
Oh, man, that's so difficult. Mm-hmm. I probably go stupidest, because it tends to be the stupidest one's a funny one. I think I usually am the stupidest person in a group. I think it usually is. I also, as well, when it comes to that stuff, like, I don't think the particularly feel anxious if somebody thinks I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm. See, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I really get, like, I think as well, because I've got this accent, that I'm used to people thinking I'm stupid just for the way I sound. I always instantly feel that prejudgment of, like, are they going to think I'm thick? So then if I genuinely don't know what I'm talking about, it's going to be like, that's a stupid little Geordie. Oh, thick Geordie. But in saying that, I think I'd rather be the smartest person in a group, because I hate feeling stupid so much. It makes me feel so like, oh, they think I'm this, they think I'm that. So I think I'd rather, because as well, like, I was quite smart at school, and when you're smart in a rough school, you learn how to hide it. So I think if I was the smartest person in a group of people who I felt were less knowledgeable on something than is, I'd be able to downplay it and not be like smug about it. But I think if I was the stupidest person, I would just sit and I'd go red and I'd be like, oh, they all think I'm fake.
But then when you're saying stupid, then, like, because
Like whenever anyone has a conversation about politics,
okay,
and I'm sat and I'm just like, and then they'll ask for my opinion and I'm like, Boris? He's one of them. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, so you said that you, like, you vote Remain, but you don't know anything about politics. But and then they'll start questioning you on things and challenging you on things. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Maybe I don't know much, but please don't make me feel stupid.
Oh, right. Because I usually find another, the stupid one is, it's like, when you have a thing you do know about, everyone's like, oh, where did that come from?
Yeah.
So you kind of put the expectation low, because I think, would it not be really stressful being the smartest person in a group? Because then you get the thing of, if you don't know something that they're talking about, then you get the major insecurity of like, oh, this is my thing. My identity is being smart.
Like when you're at a pub quiz and you're like, I should know this one. Know this one.
That's exactly why I'd rather be the stupidest person there, because I'd be terrified if I was the smartest one of getting something wrong and then looking stupid when I was trying to look smart.
I was at a pub quiz the other day and I didn't have the guts though, because he said which one of the Beatles was the youngest and I thought, well, the fact that he said was is already kind of cutting it down to two. And then but then also beforehand I thought, I'm pretty sure it's George Harrison. And then it turned out it was George Harrison. But then I didn't say it, I had to wait for somebody else at the table to say it.
I thought that too.
But you don't want to say that, because that makes it sound as if you're even more stupid.
I promise.
And then but it was like oh, it's so funny, because it was like it was a gay table, because basically I've befriended and it was upside down. Basically like an LGBT group of people, because I've befriended a gay, and then like I found him in the corner.
It's like a scheme. For just £1 a month, you can befriend a gay.
Even though I let him off the lead, he still wants to have the leather on him. But he started introducing me to all his pals and stuff. So it's, which I'm so bad at going, can we be friends? Unless he's a comedian, then you kind of go, oh cool, we've got something to talk about, and then you begin to gradually become friends again with anybody and what. But then so me and him start hanging out. He's introduced me to these group of people, and then so we're at the gay table at the pub quiz, and then all the other people are straight, and we didn't ask, but we just know. And then then the last question, because it was a tie, and then they said right, so we're gonna have to bring one person from each of the two leading teams up, and then we'll ask you a question. Whoever gets the closest answer has to get wins the 55 quid or whatever it was. And then they go, right, the question is, how many number one singles did ABBA have in the UK? And then my mate, the gay one, just went, oh, for fuck's sake, why did we have to send up the straight one? Because there's the only straight guy up there. And just all the gays at the team were going, oh, was that a number? I didn't know the question to that, though. Anyway, so I went on amazing. Tournament pub quizzes.
I think we've got about 5 minutes left if you wanted to ask the last question.
We're going to get deep. For the last five. Deep. Come on. Come on, guys.
I feel I'm doing ASMR. As well. No, when you're on about the gay table, you know, the wedding when you have like the kids' table. I've now got like a vision of it being like, you know, these are the adults, these are the children, and these are the gays.
It's like you just look around and there's like, for some reason, fire behind our table. We're just like putting our finger, come play with us, Lauren.
John, there's a seat spare. Should also point out that Larry is gay, and this isn't just not a massive reason. If anyone didn't know that by this point in the podcast, be like, oh my God.
This entire podcast has been a hate crime.
What has happened to you?
And Lauren's an absolute fucking fruit fly. I think it's a trust thing though, isn't it? I think a lot of girls have a trust thing with gays. What the fuck was I going to say? Oh, I forgot it's gone. No, it's gone.
You look so sad.
Oh, I know. But you know when you have that thing, you go, oh, there's a joke. And then you go, what was the joke? And you just left all by yourself in your brain going, where was that joke go? It was great.
It was here a minute ago.
I know. I've been writing so many fucking jokes lately. Because after a breakup, I'm just like, oh, yeah, this joke's going to be good. I'll get back with that joke. And but usually it's self-deprecating. I tried something out the other night, though, because if you do a, you know when you do a sad joke, the audience go,
yeah.
And I was listening to a song, and the song was like really happy and cheery. Mm-hmm. But then I listened to the lyrics and I was like, this song's actually really sad. It's about how a guy can't love anybody because the person he truly loved isn't around anymore. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, but it's weird that people dance to this.
Yeah.
You know, because it's this guy's heartbreak. And I just started combining the two. So I've started playing the music whilst I'm reading out the really sad jokes that I've wrote. And it's been so much fun of like just saying these hot, like, because I mean, one of the jokes was not a particularly amazing joke or anything like that, but it's just a kind of like, are you okay, Larry? Was I had to move all my ex-boyfriend's stuff out of my flat, which is great because my flat now has an echo, which means it doesn't sound like I'm the only person crying. But then the audience would just always go, oh. But then weirdly, if that music's on in the background and I say that and then I dance afterwards, they love it.
Dance your way out of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Use the stereotypes to your strength.
If you could go back and tell your younger self or give your younger self some advice on like mental health and living without misery, what would you tell yourself?
What age am I though?
Whatever age you think you'll take it in.
All right. right, so before I wanked. I think stop basing your happiness on other people. And I think, I don't know what age I started doing that. I think actually it was when I, in school, because we had the kind of cool group. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, when you kind of group off after primary school and then it begins to be the cool group are in charge of what is cool.
Yeah.
And then you've actually got your kind of other mates and that. And then, and I think it was, I began to put pressure on myself to be, I've got to be funny. Because the cool group we called the Bum Chums.
And later in life, they sat at the gay table.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those, I think I called them the Bum Chums just in a kind of like wishful thinking. They're so cool and dreamy. None of them were converted. It's awful. Just pray for the Bum Chums. I would say stop basing, because I think as soon as you put your happiness in somebody else, then you kind of you put way too much trust to put, and also then too much pressure. Because mm-hmm. like I think that's why like a breakup's bad, because you have like you've leaned on somebody for long enough, mm-hmm. and then my therapist said something, I was like, that's a fucking great point. She says if you've put all your happiness in your ex, and then the problem is it's like a wall, but there's got a support. And once that support mm-hmm. leaves, you're going to crumble. And you've just crumbled because you didn't see it coming and you didn't have any kind of like self-worth.
Yeah.
Because you just put it like, oh, if he loves me, then that means I love me. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as he doesn't love me, then I'm like, oh yes. You're supposed to love me. So basically, get a dog.
Are you listening, Matt? Are you listening? Get a dog.
I wonder though, like, see when, because I never break up with them, but then I think that's another, because mm-hmm. you know when you look back at a relationship, you go, why the hell did I not end that before? And I'm like, but then I think that's probably still working on the self-worth thing. Mm-hmm. I just don't like making people sad.
Yeah.
I said to my mum, I'm like a dog in a relationship because I look at people and like, you're great, you're so handsome, you're so awesome. I think they begin to miss me because I was their self-esteem box, because mm-hmm. it go to me and I'd be like, no, you can do anything, man.
Here's a treat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. My mum did say that to me. My mum said, what are you going to do then when your ex tries to call you? I'm like, I'm not going to talk to him. And she went, good boy. Now sit.
That was
lovely.
That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do I need to pay you £45? Is that like
adios.
Well,
take something from this podcast.
Hasta luego.
Day-to-day life. Whatever situation you're in, you're not by yourself. We can share our stories, share our experiences, we can help each other know that things do get better.
And that's another episode complete. Congratulations, you can count this as one of your good deeds for the day, as the money that was raised from the ads that you might have heard during this episode all goes to Calm, the campaign against living miserably. And that's a good thing to do. It's nice. You've raised some money with your ears. Good work, you. Thank you to Larry for, well, whatever happened in this episode. Thank you to Lauren. Thank you to Dave and Calm. And thank you to you, because, you're wonderful for listening to this, aren't you? Just wonderful. Have a nice week. That's it. Till next time. Bye. 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 Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is...
I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.